He will not break a bruised reed. I have a word for you from the Lord this morning. Start in verse 1, Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment or justice to the Gentiles. This is speaking of Christ, the Messiah. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment or justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Heavenly Father, we come to you now with open hearts and open ears, and we're asking you to speak to us from heaven, from your heart. Lord, I speak now at this time in my life as a father, and I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would, you are my Father. You've spoken to me with gentleness. You've spoken to me with your everlasting tender kindness, and give me that kind of heart. Let me feel and know, Lord Jesus, what it is to just be a channel or a voice of your heart. Lord, sanctify the vessel now so that the word can come forth pure and clean and holy before you. Speak to hearts, Lord. You've brought some people here this morning and for a special reason. And you have prepared a word for them, oh God, that could change their life if they'll just open their hearts to hear. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. This is a prophecy of Isaiah that has been fulfilled in Matthew 12. In Matthew 12, Jesus is in a synagogue. It's on the Sabbath, and a man comes or is in the audience with a withered hand, and Jesus heals this man on a Sabbath. And now the leaders of the church body are together in conference trying to find the time and place to kill him, only because he healed a man on the Sabbath. And when Jesus heard this, the Bible said, he went his way. And the scripture, Isaiah said, you'll not hear him on the streets. You will not hear him. See, he didn't come to force people to hear him. He didn't come to with a loud clamor. He didn't come with noise. He's not going to take revenge. You're not going to hear him on the street railing against these who are planning his death. The scripture, the Isaiah said, he shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He had the power, he had the authority to call down angels. He could have dealt with them. He was not like the disciples who wanted to call fire down out of heaven, and he could have done that. But the loving heart of Christ said, no, I'll just leave them. And he went out a ways from the temple, and he began to minister to the multitudes that came to him that were hungry. And it's in this context that Isaiah said, and it is quoted now about Jesus Christ, he will not break the bruised reed. Now, a reed is a long, narrow plant with a hollow trunk, and it's a tender plant, and it's usually found in marshes. It's found near water supply, and it grows tall, but it bends also. It bends under the winds. It bends under special waves, or if a flood comes, it can bend it down, and oftentimes it breaks and is carried away with the flood. And Jesus said, the scripture said of him, and Isaiah said, behold, in the first verse, my servant who sinned, my elect in whom my soul delighteth, in whom my spirit dwells. And prophet Isaiah is saying, let me tell you something about this Christ that's coming. Let me tell you what it's like. Because he's going to come to a bruised society that was under the Roman rule, a bruised and broken people because of the priesthood taking advantage of the poor and the widows and being mocked and ridiculed. The Bible said all the prophets spoke of the time that Christ would come would be an hour of darkness. The people that sit in darkness would see a great light. And Jesus came into a demon-possessed, broken society, absolutely broken. this was a society of broken reeds. The flood tides of the Roman Empire, of the evil homosexuality that spilled out of the bowels of Rome, all of the cheating and the stealing and the robbing and all of the hypocrisy. And Jesus came into that bruised society. And the word says, he will not break a bruised reed. I want to talk to you this morning about this tender, loving Christ in two aspects. I want to talk to you about the tenderness of Christ prophesied by Isaiah, this man who had come. Let me tell you something about the Jesus you serve and that I serve. We think we know so much about him. We study his nature. We study all of the circumstances about his life and his time here on earth. But I don't think we fully understand the meaning of this and the absolute loving kindness of our Christ for his people and for the world. God sent his son into the world not to judge it, but to save it. How many agree with me? He came to save this world, not to condemn it. Jesus said, I'm not your judge now, I'm your savior. I want to talk to about God's tenderness to America and to the nations of the world at this time. I'm sure if you are Bible, you love the Word of God, and you believe that to be the revealed Word of God, the absolute Word of the living God. And when you read all the prophecies, and you read of what happened to nations in the past, you read of the fallen empires, Roman and Grecian, you read of Sodom and Gomorrah and the flood. You read of the time when God lost patience after so much love, after preaching for 120 years of mercy to Noah's generation, and then God says it's enough. And the question is, why is it that God has not judged America up to this time? Why is it that a nation that has killed millions of unborn babies, why is it that we are not under judgment now? Because you see, when I grew up, in fact, till I was 15, 16 years old, a teenager, you know, the Bible was in the school, and many of the lessons were Bible lessons, right in school, all the way to the 10th grade, I remember, and especially in junior and grade school. The Bible was used as a partial textbook. Many of the lessons were Bible stories. And look where we've come from now, where here in New York City, you can put a Koran on the teacher's desk, you can put a Playboy, you put a Bible here, you'll lose your job. And how God has been pushed out of our schools, pushed out of our court system, and ridiculed. And what has happened, it has left a bruised society without any moral compass. We are living in a time when psychoanalysts, psychologists, sociologists cannot keep up with a flood of people wanting just 1 hour to talk about their distress. The church counseling teams everywhere are overburdened, even in the Church of Jesus Christ, the distress, the stress of finances. Folks, if we got what we deserved, we would be in ruin right now. This nation would have been destroyed if God was not a God of mercy. And it's only the mercy of God. You've heard of daylight saving time. We're on tender mercy time right now. We're on tender mercy time. I see it not only here in the United States, but everywhere we travel. Europe is far more secular than the United States. When I travel to some of these nations, this new European Union is absolutely secular, is absolutely godless. They do not want God mentioned in any of their meetings. If you have anything to do with God or the Bible or anything that is spiritual, you'll be looked upon as a lunatic. We held a meeting in Brussels, and that's where I believe will emerge the seat of the Antichrist. That's where the European Union meets, and you feel that spirit when you walk the street of arrogance against God. You find it now in all over Europe. I prophesied in Sweden. The Spirit of the Lord came on me. I was in 1 hour in an afternoon, the Lord opened up from Amos a prophecy, and I stood in front of the Swedish congregations there, and my message was God's controversy with Sweden, all with the evangelical churches in Sweden. And it was about apathy. The richer they grow, it's one of the richest nations now, and the richer it grows, the more apostasy and apathy comes. Ireland's being prospered now. It's becoming very apathetic and absolutely secular. God is being pushed out of Europe. You see all of these things developing, and you see the world system spinning out of control, and you see signs of God warning time and time again. God can stop terrorist attacks anytime he chooses. He just sends an angel. He can speak a word. Any terrorist thing. 9/11 could have been hindered if God chose to. God didn't allow it, but God allows something. God has all nature under control. And God's been speaking to our nation. He's been speaking to the whole world. Tsunamis. Earthquakes. And now when I've just come home from Europe again, and nobody seems to care. It's all right. If judgment's coming, well, let's live it up until it comes. Let's just eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's no sense of urgency. There's no sense of need of God. And it breaks your heart. And you see Christians falling into the cracks now. You see, I get letters, letter after letter after letter on our mailing list of those who are writing to me now and say, I go to such and such church. These are usually mega churches. And there's no preaching anymore about sin. And even pastors tell me, I'm backslidden. I go to a church now where there's no worship. There's no sense of Christ's presence. There's never a tear. There's never any brokenness. And one church that was story in the New York Times just a month ago, a Pentecostal church with 10,000 people, and it says, we're here to make you happy. But you see, it's not bringing happiness. It's bringing despair and distress and backsliding and coldness of heart. And you look at all of this, and you say, Lord, I don't want judgment. There's nobody here within the sound of my voice. If you love Christ and you walk in true holiness before God, you could not want judgment on this nation or any nation or on any people. And folks, I'm just as human as anybody else. I would like to just live under the long suffering of God till I die and there's prosperity. That would be fine. I don't want to have to see tears in the eyes of my children and grandchildren. I don't want to see these things that are coming. I like it the way it is. That would be nice. But the only reason it is as it is now is because God somewhere in this nation has found some bruised reeds that still want to take a stand. He has found some wicks that are just smoldering. It's just smoke now. They were once on fire. Churches that were on fire. People that were on fire. He said, I will not extinguish a smoldering flax. That's a wick in a lamp. And that wick, when it goes down, in Bible times, there was a snuffer, a little cap, and they would snuff it out when it was smoking, snuff it out. And he said, I will not snuff out. The fire may be gone. There's no appearance of fire. There's no appearance of anything alive. But I see something. I hear a cry from some people. I hear something from hearts. And I believe in every church that's backslidden. I believe in every Catholic church. I believe that in every church in the United States and around the world, God has at least one. He's got two. He's got a holy remnant that still burn and still cry and pray. And God says, I'll not break that bruised reed as long as I hear a cry. He has not broken this nation yet. He's given warnings. Yes, and the time is getting short. But he said, I will not break a bruised reed. Let me talk to you about the tenderness of Jesus Christ toward his people. I was in the Spirit this past week in prayer, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly that I had to speak this word today, because there would be in this service this morning those who are bruised reeds. That word bruised has many meanings. It means to be hurt, pounded to pieces. It includes injured feelings, crushed by unfulfilled expectations. And there are people sitting here now in the annex and here in the main auditorium. And even though you sang, and even though you may have clapped your hands and rejoiced in the Lord, yet you have been bruised. There's a bruise, and there comes a breaking point, that I want to talk about. Some of you are close to a breaking point. You're bruised and you're wounded. And the fire seems to have gone out. It seems to have ebbed down so low, there's nothing left, you think, but smoke. You're that smoldering wick. I have received a letter this past week from a missionary couple, bruised. A number of years ago, the Holy Spirit, they said, told them to sell everything. Give it away or sell it and go to the mission field. They went to, I think it was Africa, and they spent 7 years in a Bible school and teaching and into the villages and gave their lives. The Holy Spirit told them after 7 years they needed to return home. And they came home, no money, no house, nothing. And they didn't give me the details of where they're living, but he is a skilled man, well-educated, began looking for jobs and putting in resumes. And he put out resume after resume, and he'd always end up in the top four or five that would be interviewed. And he would go to the interview and be moved up to second place time and again, and then get the word that another man got the job. And finally, after praying and fasting and seeking God, and they were crushed in the question, Lord, why are you testing us this way? Because we pray, we fast, we've given our life on the mission field, there's no controversy with God. Why are we at this point? And they came, they were bruised in spirit and in their heart. And the letter that came to me came right after the worst of all that could have happened to them. A Christian man invited him to come and be interviewed at the company, and he said, there are two of you. And this was a job that he knew he could do. He was qualified for it, and he felt good about it. And the boss wined and dined him for, you know, when I say wine, I'm talking about just eating. And set him up, almost assuring him that he had the job. And then he gets a call that he didn't get it, and the other man was awarded the job. And that's when I hear about the breaking point. The breaking point. You see, if you want to see a bruised man in the Bible, you go to the Old Testament, to Elijah. Elijah, a man of prayer, whose prayers opened and shut the heavens. Here's a man who knew God as few men knew him. Here's a man who had such spiritual authority that he could stand before 400 of the idolatrous priest of Baal, take a sword in his hand and slay them all single-handedly. Here's a man with such power and authority. And here's a man upon whom the Spirit comes with such might that he outruns Ahab's chariot almost 20 miles to Jezreel. But when he gets there, Jezebel sends a message to tell him, I'm going to kill him. And fear comes upon him. And the next scene is Elijah, a day's journey, dismissed his servant. And he's laying almost asleep under a juniper tree, totally discouraged, totally hurting. Here's a man, there's no reason whatsoever. There's no reason in his thinking that this should happen to him. He's lived for years seeing miracles. He's seen the hand of God on his life. He's not living in sin. But now he's distressed. He is a broken reed. Broken. Let me tell you, there are some of you at that point now. You are bruised. It may be because of your finances. You say, God, I've served you faithfully. I've been your servant. I've done everything. And now here I am facing a hopeless situation. And I'm tested beyond all my human capacity. Some of you may be fighting a besetting sin. And you've come to the end of yourself. You're at a breaking point because you say, I've done everything. I've heard from the pulpit. I have gone to the Holy Spirit for sanctifying power. I have read my Bible faithfully. I have prayed and sought God. But then all of a sudden, here it comes out of nowhere, something that is in my past that I thought was over and gone. And here I am fighting the same battle I fought when I got saved. There's some of you in a marriage situation right now, and it's brought you near the breaking point, and you are a bruised reed. And you're holding on for dear life because you know what the Bible says about divorce. You've prayed for him. You have tried to show Jesus to him. You've done everything, but it blows up in your face. And here's what happens when you are down under that juniper tree, and that's where some of you are now. You're down, discouraged, and heartbroken, and not understanding. And when you're down, and when the enemy comes in like a flood, the devil will come to you with lies. He will come to you and say, what kind of a Christian are you? You don't practice what you preach. You really have a filthy, unchangeable nature. You have deceived God. All kinds of lies will come into your mind, but your conscience most of all will come at you. And that conscience will say to you, you're not praying like you did one time. You're not studying the word like you should. You've dried up, you're lukewarm, your fire's gone out. You're not a good testimony. You don't practice what you preach. You don't have what it takes. You've allowed the devil to rob you of everything God ever gave you. Your conscience will come and just beat on you and bring. Then the word of God will try you. The Bible says of Joseph, until his time came, the word of God tried him. And the word will try you when you're down and you're hurting and you're bruised and now just a smoking flax. Because, folks, I've been there and I know what it's like. Many of you there, and if you're not there, hold on. I'm not trying to scare you, but it comes to all of us. It may last for some just a week, for some it lasts months. But that time will come. That testing time will come. And when that comes, the word of God will try you because you're hurting and you're down and you are stressed. And you try to put it out of the mind and keep saying, Lord, I'll trust you, I'll trust you, I trust you. But your faith begins to waver because that's the flame. That's the flame. That's the flick that's dying. That wick that's smoldering. It's faith. The devil is trying to destroy the faith of this man. This faith of this man that can believe God to make turn a little cloud into a thunderstorm and lick up 12 barrels of water around an altar and send fire supernaturally from heaven. That's the kind of faith this man had. And now he's sitting there not wanting to hear a word. He's not wanting to pray. I've been there. I'm saying, Lord, I just heard. I don't know what to do. And you just want to sleep. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? I want to go to bed. That's what the Bible says, and he fell asleep. He fell asleep. Why? Because he can't carry the burden anymore. It's just too much for him. And our Lord, our precious Father, looked at that man, hurting and bruised at the end of his rope, not able to explain to anybody, not wanting to pray. He didn't want to hear another prophet come and say, what are you doing here? If God tells him, fine, and God did, but he didn't want that. You come to a place where you don't want to pray. There's no urgency. You love God. You love Jesus probably more than you've ever loved him. But you just have no urgency to pray. You open the Bible and the pages run together. And you fall asleep reading the Bible. And your conscience beating on you. And all of those words, remember the foolish virgins. They were cast out because their lamps went out. What about you? Your lamp is going out. You're a foolish virgin. And you'll hear it, pray without ceasing. Pray with all your heart, your mind, soul, and strength. Pray earnestly, pray fervently. You're sitting there, I can't even speak. I know I'm not speaking into the wind. The Word of God will try you. You get your Bible out and look at that and say, I can't handle that. I can't handle it. And the Lord knows that. He saw this. He's broken. He's a reed that's bent over, and the flood has come. Fear to attack his faith and rob him of all of his faith. He's under attack, and he's about to break it. But God made him a promise. I will not break a bruised reed. I will not snuff out the wick that is smoldering. He knew this man still had this breath of faith in him. He knew this man's heart. And an angel comes, not a rebuke, not a renouncing, but an angel with food. And the angel wakes him up. And he said, Elijah, rise up and eat. Oh, thank God he prepares meals for those that are hurting. You see, I'm not an angel, and I can prove it. Just ask the woman that just talked to you. I'm not an angel, but I'm a messenger. I'm a messenger, and I've come with a meal. And I'm that messenger that's tapping you on the shoulder and said, hey, wake up. God's not mad at you. He's not going to let you break under this. You're not going down. I want to scream that. I want to sit with the love of Christ and the tenderness of a loving Savior. Don't believe the lie that you're going to be crushed, that the devil's going to have the upper hand. No, the Lord said, I will not allow you to be broken. I will not allow the fire to go out. The fire's still there. I'm going to blow on that flame, and it'll come back again. God was so patient with Elijah. For 40 days and 40 nights. Now, he gave him two meals, woke him up twice. No rebuke. He said, now, you're going to have to eat because the path, your journey is too hard for you. Does anybody get that? Look, the Lord said, this is too much for you. And Lord said, I'm going to be patient. So for 40 days and 40 nights, he endures. But this man goes through without a word of rebuke. He waits for 40 days and 40 nights with the man that's just walking almost blindly, almost hopeless, wounded in spirit, refusing to be encouraged at that moment. I think if I'd saw an angel twice, I might be encouraged. But he's still, and God just tenderly waits 40 days and 40 nights till he gets to the cave in Mount Horeb. And folks, this man is at a crossroads because, you see, God said, I won't break the bruised reed. But there comes a time God says, I'm going to have to tell it to you very lovingly, very straight. And so after 40 days and 40 nights, God comes on the scene. Now, if you're down, what kind of message do you want to hear to wake you up? Do you want thunder? Because that's what happened. The thunder came and shook the rocks. This was in God's hand. Thunder. There are a lot of people who think that's the only thing that's going to wake them out of their sloth and unbelief and what they're going through. But the Bible says God wasn't in the thunder. That wasn't God speaking. He said, no, I'm not going to treat you that way. Well, what about an earthquake and shake the very ground you stand on? Maybe, is that the kind of word you want? You're hurting. Do you want the pastor to stand and just give you an earthquake sermon? Red hot thunder, lightning, and everything shaking around you? And heaven's lit up. Repent or else. How about fire? I hear preachers being advertised as fiery. He's so fiery. I believe in Holy Ghost fire preaching, if it's through brokenness and tears. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the thunder. What was the voice that brought him out? Still, small voice. And many manuscripts say a soft wind came, a soft breeze, a refreshing breeze. And in a whisper, God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? You know what he's saying? I can't let you settle down in this kind of despair. I can't let you live like this. I've loved you, and I'm patient with you, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you some direction now. And he gave him direction. He gave him three specific directions that he was to take. Now comes obedience. Now God is requiring faith. And the only way you're going to get out, the only way I've ever come out of this time where I was at a breaking point, and in my travels I see it in the ministry especially, hundreds of thousands of pastors in the past 3 years who have wanted to quit the ministry and are quitting the ministry because they reached a breaking point and they broke. Because they would not listen to that still, small voice. I'm going to give you from the Word of God from James 5:11, here's your meal. Here is your food. I said Elijah got a meal from an angel. You're getting a meal now from a servant. This is what the Lord spoke to my heart. James 5:11, we have seen the end or the outcome of the Lord's dealings. The Lord is pitiful and of tender mercies. Look this way for just a moment. God is not mad at you. He's not just trying to test you right now. The test is nearing its end. And the Lord knows that some of you are at the breaking point. You've got to rely on His Word now, and you have to start feeding on what God is bringing. If you'll feed, he'll offer, he'll bring the food if you just have a hunger and say, Lord, I want you to feed me. And every time that the enemy has come against me over 50 years of ministry, I've had to come to this place where Elijah came. Lord, I believe that you'll speak to me. I believe that my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and he abides. And I can't imagine a Holy Ghost abiding in me and not speaking to me. He abides in me. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And I have to lay hold of that and say, Jesus, live or die, I believe that you abide in me. I believe that my sins are under the blood. I don't know what this is all about. I can't handle it. I know the journey's too much, but I know you're with me. I know that you are with me. And that's what this whisper from God is. He said, I'm going to take you a new way of life. You're not going to be judgmental like you often were, Elijah, because now you see how I work with you, how I want you to work with others around you, not to judge your husband or your wife or your children, not to stand as judges, but to show them the tender mercies and that still small voice. No more screaming mothers trying to save their kids through screaming. No more shouting wives that try to berate their husbands and just losing it. No more of husbands putting down their wives. This is all about how we live. This is practical stuff, friends. It's not some kind of theology out there in the heavens. It has to do with how we live. And if we're going to come to church and sing and shout and praise the Lord and talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost, we had better know something about Christ alive in our hearts. We'd better know that the Holy Ghost that we say lives and abides and who has baptized us is here when I need him. And when I hurt, that I can cry out to him and he will not shut his voice. He will not shut his ears and he will whisper to you, everything's going to be all right because I'm with you. Fear not. My closing word, go to Psalm 103. I want you to stand. I want you to stand as we read. You say you believe the Bible is the revealed word of God? All right, then take this to your heart. Psalm 103, I'm going to read all the way down to verse 13. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executed righteousness and justice, judgment for all that are oppressed. He makes known his ways unto, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is what? Merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. In other words, he'll not keep you in suspense. Neither will he keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, as far he has removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers we're just dust. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah for your word. Raise your hands and give God thanks for his word. Just praise him. Lord, thank you for the word of the Lord, the word that gives us life and gives us strength. Now, while you stand, I have one appeal, one invitation. If this message was for you, now, it may have meant, I don't know, 5 or 10 people, but I suspect it's more like the hundreds. If you say, Pastor Dave Wilkson, I'm bruised. And some of them have to say, I'm at a breaking point. But that's when God moves with his great mercy. And he came with a message to you this morning. You were not browbeaten. You were not condemned. Holy Spirit sent a message on the revelation of Christ and his tenderness towards you and your problem. He's not mad. It's not the anger of God. It's a test of faith. That's all it was with Elijah. He had lost his faith and fear. Fear has torment. And I'll tell you right now, your problem started with fear. There was a moment when fear was allowed to take root in your heart. And you stand here afraid of the future, afraid of this, afraid of that. There's a fear. And that fear is causing the wick of faith to just smolder. But the Lord knows, and the Lord wants to breathe on you. He wants to heal your spirit and renew your faith. If you don't know Christ, if you don't have a living personal relationship with Jesus Christ, up in the balcony floor and in the annex overflow. In the annex overflow, you can step forward and stand between the screens. Here in the main auditorium, upstairs, and here, you come down the stairs on either side. You come. I'll pray with you right here at the front. Just come and say, Pastor David, today God spoke to me. And I want to pray that you have the promise that God will not fail you, but you've got to renew your faith before the Lord. The renewing of your faith. Now, I could give you a little speech on what you ought to do, but I'm just going to give you the word, and I want you to listen closely. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The Lord is near to all those who call upon him, those that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those that fear him. He will also hear your cry and save you. The Lord preserves all of those who love him. All the wicked he destroys. He heals the broken in heart. He binds up their wounds. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. The Lord preserves the stranger. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. Do you want to please God? He said he takes pleasure in them who hope in his tender mercies. You that come forward, would you raise a hand that just says, Lord, here I am, I surrender. Just raise a hand and pray this prayer with me from your heart. Lord Jesus, I accept your mercy. I rejoice in your mercy. You know my heart. You know what I'm going through. But I'm coming to you with it to cast all my care upon you. Pluck the fear out of my heart. Forgive my unbelief. Jesus, I give you all. And you know that. You see my heart. So I come now with faith, childlike faith, to rejoice in your mercy to me, to thank you for your tender mercies to me. Lord, I want to give you pleasure. I want you to just thank him with your voice. Thank him with your voice. Right out loud, I give you thanks, Jesus. I give you praise. Now, I want to pray for everyone who came forward that the Lord would help you right now to release your fears. I'm telling you, that's where it starts, your fear. But God said, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. You've got a good mind. You know how to make a living, and you need to be assured you know how to lay hold of this truth right now. If God has not given me this spirit of fear that's upon me, why should I put up with it? It's from the enemy. God didn't put this on me. I've not given you a spirit of fear. Lord, I come against the spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus Christ, whom I serve, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord of glory, I ask you to come right now and smite every fear. Lord, that's what you did in that cave with Elijah. You came in a still small voice and you plucked the fear out of his heart, and he became fearless. And one day later stood before Ahab. And Ahab said, "Oh, you found me. Oh, God, you used this man. You blessed this man. Now bless this people that come with open hearts. Will you lay down your fear right now? Say, Jesus, I give you my fear.